Blog Talk Radio.
Anything above 30 degrees, I think. I don't know what it is, but anything above that is considered warm, I think, around right now. But, well, we have a pretty good show today. Got some interesting guests. There's a show, it's called 702 Punchlines and Pregnant. It's a Jackie Mason musical. Yes, it's Jackie Mason Love Child, Sheba Mason's off-Broadway show about Jackie Mason's love affair with her starry-eyed mother. Sheba Mason and composer Ginger Reiter will give us the inside scoop on this show. It's presently being performed in New York City at the Broadway Comedy Club located at 318 West 53rd Street. Then, oh, well, what's going on with Peapod Food Delivery Service? Through chain grocery store Stop and Shop. I mean, should I call the health department? I'll tell you all about that. And also, can seats at a movie theater be too comfortable? I've heard that at the end of a movie, the manager has to wake people up or even tap people during the movie for snoring too loud. It's happening at the AMC movie theater in Fresh Meadows here in Queens in New York City. And I will be reviewing Les Mis, as is now called. But before we have our guests on, of course, I have to have my sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these absolutely wonderfully tasting brownies at www.brownies.com. They now have, I guess, brownie bars. No, they're not brownie bars. Actually, they're not brownies. They call blondies. So if you don't, not into chocolate, they have cookies. They have, well, just go there. I mean, just, wow, I'm getting hungry now. But I think it's time to start our show with our guests. Hello, guys. How are you doing? You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. So who am I talking to right now? Sheba or, huh?
Both of us. We're on different phones. I'm Ginger and Sheba's on the other line. Say hello, Sheba.
Hello.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Now, the first question is, of course, is 702? How did the name come into play of 702 punchlines?
Sheba, you answer the question. You're good at that.
Well, that's the amount of times that she saw him, she thinks, over the years.
Ah.
702. Yeah.
I don't think. I know. I mean, I was there, so I know.
So why did you answer the question?
Next time I'll answer it.
Okay. Why'd you make me answer it then?
Okay, I think. I know.
So let's hear about the show. I mean, how did this all come about?
Well, this is a work that's been on long before Sheba was born. It was on in a completely different version, and I pretended to be pregnant with a baby, with Jackie Mason's baby. And then 3 years later, I was pregnant. In the show, I took out a pillow and I said, only wishful thinking. But it wasn't wishful thinking. The guy actually showed up. So I knew him for 10 years. I had a relationship, on and again, off again relationship with him for 10 years. And then she was born in the ninth year. And then the 10th year, he opened on Broadway. And that's when I had to assume for paternity.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is all a made-up thing or true?
No, this is true. I knew Jackie
okay.
for 10 years. And
okay.
After on the 10th year, there was a paternity suit because we were very, very close. I was his harem favorite. You know, he's a known womanizer, and that's in the play. I was his harem favorite, and I really relished my title. But after he opened on Broadway, everything changed, and he became cold, and I couldn't get in touch with him to help him pay for support, so I had to take him to court. Which I did, which took 3 years because he was fighting it every step of the way. And then after the blood test came out, I won. And I got child support for 18 years because I live in Florida.
Cool.
It would have been
Why
cooler if I did it in New York, then I would have had it until she was 21.
Well, at what point did you decide, I think I'll make a show out of this?
Well, I thought about it long before the paternity suit, long before even anything. I just always thought he was interesting. He actually said to me, why don't you write a screenplay? And then I wrote an article, and then I wrote the play and wrote it. I just think he's an interesting character. He's a very interesting character because he doesn't look at things like everybody else looks at things. So it's a different take on all of life.
So now what I got is, now one of you wrote the music, is that what it is?
Well, actually, Sheba, go ahead, Sheba, you could talk. I'll show
you. Yeah, Ginger wrote all the music.
Okay, so Ginger wrote the music, and I guess you wrote the script, I suppose, because it's your life.
We actually the script is, we both wrote it.
Oh, okay.
This is Ginger talking. We both wrote the script. It was a work in progress. We finally got it to where the audience loves it. And it's funny and touching and, the audience, we're getting a very good response. So,
now, how did the two of you even get together? What was the thing that got you, one of you is the actual person? I'm not clear. Is it?
Okay.
So
I'm
she's
the
mother. I'm Jackie Mason's daughter. I'm the kid.
Okay.
You know, I'm like the product of her and Jackie Mason.
Right.
So I'm the mother, and my name is Ginger. I'm also the co-playwright and the
Got it.
Now it makes a lot more sense, right? I'm not just some yenta who decided to do this. You know. I was always writing, even when I met him. That's how I met him. So,
I met him once. It's funny because I was going through a whole bunch of photos, and I was up in Toronto, and there was I can't think of the guy's name. He like owned these theaters and stuff like that, and this real discount store and whatever. And I went to visit him and. You know, Jackie Mason was sitting there, and he looked so pale. That's all I remembered. I went, Jesus, he really looks horrible. Of course, I didn't tell him that, but that was the only time I remember meeting him.
Well,
not that he cared that I met him.
Right.
But But anyway, so you put together the show. And when was the first time that the show was done?
In New York, the first time it was done in New York City, this version of it was done. It opened July 2010.
Okay, so in other words, you had other versions of it?
Throughout the years. It's not like it's the only thing we've been doing, but, you know, throughout the years there's been different versions of it. And what does it have? It has songs like Ode to the Early Bird Special, because what did I do when I hung out with him? We looked for the best
right.
Early Bird Special. That's what we did. That was amazing.
Okay, so give me some titles. Give me titles of some of the songs, just
okay.
To give me an idea.
Okay, Ode to the Early Bird Special. The Breeze is Sweeter in Miami, because the whole thing takes place in Miami, where I met him.
Uh-huh. I never met this Yenta.
I never met this Yenta, right. As a matter of fact, we have the guy who plays Jackie Mason is around now, too, if you want to talk to him.
Oh, he's calling in, you mean?
He can
mm-hmm.
if you want him to. He's, having
he's calling in.
He's going to call you in right now.
Oh, it's interesting because I have another phone number that came up. I'm going, sometimes I don't know if people are calling in just to listen or they're calling in because they want to be on the air. So this must be, what's his name?
Ian Worrell.
Ian.
But you could call him Jackie Mason, too.
Hey, Jackie Mason.
What's going on
here?
What are they going to say about me? What's going on? What's going on? I deny it. Every single bit. Well, who are you? What kind of radio show is this? Hello?
Listen, it's a fun radio show. Oh, by the way, you can on this internet radio show, by the way, you can say anything you want, just as long as you don't say shit or fuck.
Well, that covers about everything.
Just so you know, that's banned. We can't say shit or fuck on the air.
Well. I'll take your word for it.
Please repeat that a third time. I didn't hear you.
What was that? Shit, fuck? Which one?
What are we not allowed to say?
Don't say shit or fuck. On the air. You can't.
What kind of show is this? Even on Stern, you can say this.
This is what they say to me. That they tell me. I could say anything. They said I could say anything I want, but just don't say shit, fuck, or a couple of other words. Name some other words.
I promise you, we won't say shit or fuck.
What other words aren't you allowed to say on the air?
You do not say shit or fuck. I promise.
Probably some other words you're not allowed to say either. but just to let you. So. Did you guys check up on me to see what my past is? You probably don't know. That's okay.
Well, we hope that you have some prostitution in your past.
Did I have some what?
Prostitution in your past.
Oh, no.
That would explain why we're not allowed to say shit or fuck on the air.
Oh, no. I'm not a hoe.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a hoe. Don't, never been a hoe.
I'm not a hoe. It's just, well, then it's going to be very hard to relate to you.
Okay. But anyway, so Ian, how did this come about that you got to be the Jackie?
How did this come to be? I saw that they were looking for one, and I'm a New York Jew. I said, if I can't play this role, I have no reason being in show business.
So how long have you been doing the part of Jackie Mason?
We started together about 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
The show's been running for some time now.
Okay. So in the songs, are there songs that you sing particularly? Like you have solos
There's one. I'll tell you one of my favorite ones. It's all about how you have, as a celebrity, you constantly have to deal with these people that are around you that want to get you. They want to be a part of you. They want to feel your success in some way. And obviously, as someone of notoriety would probably tell you, that can be a burden. And so there's this fantastic song called Celebrity Seekers. And it's all about these crazy people that kind of run after celebrities. But of course, if there weren't those crazy people that ran after celebrities, there would be no value in celebrity. And so it's a catch 22 about having this dichotomy there. And it's such a fun song to sing.
So do you have people that run after you, or you just, or have you been running after other people?
we have a wonderful fan base that is wonderfully supportive, but you know.
How did you, why did you guys, like, I'm curious, like, that you did the Broadway Comedy Club versus, oh, I don't know, a theater kind of thing?
Well, because it's produced by Al Martin, who's the owner of the club. This is Sheba talking. I'm also a comedian, so I perform there a lot as a comedian. I've known him for years, and he was kind enough to, you know, lend a hand and produce the show, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
So you go wherever there's a Jew with a paycheck.
There's a place. Back alleys, you know. Bar mitzvahs. Openings of Zion delicatessens, you know, anything, right?
Right.
Of course.
He's a really good guy who gives us a good deal, and so we do it there. And it's a nice venue for it. It's handicapped accessible, and it has two bathrooms on the same floor and a beautiful stage.
I guess I'll have to, when I get there, when I get my ass over there, you could say ass, that's right. You could say ass, not asshole, right?
You can say both. When are you going to get both of them there?
I guess I'll have to wait till the 20th to get there.
I guess so, because that's when the next show is.
That's the next show.
No, we need you to go there before that.
If I go there before, I'd just see somebody else, but it wouldn't help.
Well, you'd see Sheba. She's on almost every night there. But,
she's a little,
she's got a little bit of a risque act.
I say shit and fuck it.
Then I should probably come to see you even before I see the show then, right?
You could. But then it's like so much of me. Maybe you should just see the show.
No,
so you can come.
I'll just be breathing hard. I thought I'd let that sink in.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But when you're doing your act, Sheba, when you're doing your act, are you doing things from the show or completely different?
No, well, the show is like, you know, a musical comedy with a cast of eight, you know. It's like a Broadway-style show. So when I do my act, it's just, you know, it's just stand-up comedy, you know.
Okay, so if I'm there to see you, it'll be something completely different.
Oh, completely different, yeah.
So it would be actually a great thing for me to see you and then, you know, put something in the paper or whatever and then see the show and do something else.
Why don't you just come live with us for a few weeks? Watch me, watch the show.
Get to know Ian and Jackie Mason a little, you know, all of us.
Well, so shit, it'll be fantastic.
We'll have a bagel. Yeah.
Has Jackie ever seen the show?
Well, Jackie tried to sue me to get the show closed, to be honest. He's not that crazy about the show because it tells the truth about my relationship with him. And, you know, I did have to have a paternity suit. He's not the world's greatest father. And he always, you know, before this happened, though, before the paternity suit, he did like the show very much. He did get it booked for me. He did hum the melodies. He did think it was great. But after the paternity suit and it became a legal thing, everything changed. And now we have this live legal thing walking around named Sheba Mason, you know, and, you know, that's like a real person who's on the other line. And, you know, that's really, you know, his child. When he saw her on the street for the first time in like 15 years, he said to her,
yeah.
Not hello, how are you? How you doing? He said to her, so you have to knock me in your act. You got to louse me up. Why do you have to louse me up so much? You know, that's what he said to her, not hello. And she said to him, I'm not lousing you up. She said, I'm not, you know, I just said I'd wish a better looking comedian was my father, like Rosie O'Donnell.
Or Woody Allen.
Or Woody Allen. You know, but that was what he said to her, you know.
That's good. I don't think you appreciated that, huh?
And now when she sees him, you know, in a restaurant or something where she bumps into him, you know, he says to her, do I know you? You look familiar.
No, but we're getting closer, though. Last week when I saw him, he actually recognized me.
Oh, really?
And I know he recognized me because the minute he saw me, he ran the other way.
So it's an improving relationship. He does recognize her now.
Well, that's... You sure it's not a senility that he's not recognizing you?
No. I think he pretends, you know. He's a great pretender. And
wasn't that a song, too?
Sure.
Yeah.
And he, as a matter of fact, he always has a young, beautiful girl with him, always.
In fact, he had a squabble with a Japanese woman. I don't know if you read about this in the New York Post, because he had a fight with her in the middle of the night. Who he was, this girl he was dating. She was like in her 40s, and he's 83. So what happened was, she woke up in the middle of the night and realized that he wasn't in the bed with her. So she went into the living room to see what was going on. And he just was sleeping on the couch, and she got mad. She accused him of cheating on her. And it's like, he wasn't cheating on you with a woman. He was cheating on you with IKEA. And she goes, thank you. And she goes, and her name is Suzuki McMullen, and she came to see the play.
Oh, yeah, and her reaction?
She came again.
Yeah, she came again.
She came again. Every time she came, she brought another reporter. So it was really nice.
That's very interesting. That if you think about what you just said, every time she came, she brought another reporter. Well.
That's her luck.
Yeah. So, have you found like there are people, everyone who comes to the show, obviously knows who Jackie Mason is, right?
No. No.
Oh,
we,
no,
actually, we have many people who just know that he is some kind of celebrity. I mean, like, you know, like a third of our audience are older Jewish people. But the other two-thirds are really people from India and Asia and all different kinds of people who relate to the story. Because it is a love story. You know, when people relate to love stories gone wrong, you know, and fathers who are not into their children. So, you know, I get all kinds of, like, when the show's over, I'm always surrounded by a lot of people who tell me that they relate to the story. So it's not just people who really, really know him. It's people who, you know, who get to know him through the show.
So in other words, it's not just a bunch of out the cockers in the audience.
Right, right. It's not. It's
that's good.
It's always a mixed crowd.
Does anybody ever mistake you for Jackie?
Well, I'll tell you what, there is an uncanny resemblance, and I have had people come up to me and say, you know, you look so much like him, and my common response has been, well, he's my father, too.
Did you get any benefits out of that?
I get to be on your show, don't I?
This is true. Quick, now, he talks, is that the way he really talks, or he does that as because of the comedy?
No, he falls asleep talking like that. He talks like that in his sleep. And
yes,
he falls asleep with his finger up in the air when he's up something else. he does fall asleep with his finger up in the air.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, look at that.
And doesn't he turn purple when he's sunburned or something?
Yeah, he has, you know, like you said, he's very pale. And once he was, like, sunburned, and I put this aloe vera on him. He was making a movie in Florida, and I put aloe vera on him, and he was sleeping, sitting up on the couch, and he turned absolutely purple from the aloe vera. And I don't know whether to rush him to the hospital or kill him on the spot. I didn't know what to do.
You could have passed him off as an eggplant.
I could have made some, you know, smush it up and made some, what's a smushed up eggplant? Israeli? Baba ganoush, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. What's another word? This eggplant is, I forgot, it's an Italian word for eggplant.
There is?
I'll think.
Eggplant parmesan.
That's another way, yeah, right.
But I will tell you that Jackie, I mean, I was madly in love with him for 10 years. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. Took another 10 to get over him. And he was a brilliant, fun man. There's just nobody like him. He just was a brilliant, funny guy. Everything was, like, funny all the time. And, you know, I can understand why women are madly in love with him. Because Ian, the guy who plays the part, who's on the other line, he really is like the better-looking side of Jackie when Jackie was in his 40s when I met him.
So, Ian, what is your background?
Well,
I don't mean whether you're Jewish or not. I mean your background in show business.
singing, dancing, mostly off-Broadway work. You know, I've been in New York City for about 7 years now, and I've tried to keep consistent with arts and entertainment. You know, also musicianship and writing for television, network television, and it's been a blast. You know, this is really a great opportunity to be out there in the middle. I mean, it's basically on Broadway. It's off Broadway, but it's, you know, it's a Broadway comedy club. It's you know, we get a wonderful group of fans to come in, people seeking it out, and the response is just overwhelming. They love the show, they love the score, they love the writing, they love the talent that's in it, and you can't ask for a better production to be a part of.
So and the production is always a Sunday, or is I'm trying to get there was a point where there was like you were doing a, you know, 2-3 days in a row or something.
Well, that was Christmas week. Christmas week, we had quite a few shows. Because
I live
in Florida, and I run the show. This is Ginger. I live in
Florida.
I run the show, and I come, you know, every other week to do it. But this was a vacation because I'm a teacher. So I had a vacation. So we did 5 shows, and we had great audiences, all 5 shows. And we're considering in the near future of doing it Monday nights at 7 o'clock. That's a possibility in the near future.
Okay, so in other words, what you're doing is you're schlepping up from Florida on the weekend.
Right, that's
to
it.
Do
that. I'm parking my ass in my daughter's apartment. And, you know, which she's not that crazy about to have me park my ass there. So, you know, I try to do it, as, you know, when I can.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, in terms of the other cast, what are the other characters?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear a good answer.
We have Wooly the Shuffalo. Because Jackie, whenever you dated Jackie, he always had somebody else was always with him. Just in case he got tired of talking to you, he had somebody else to talk to. Or if he got up and walked away from the table, you have somebody to talk to. So he always had somebody. So in this case, the character is called Wooly the Shuffalo, named after a real character named Wooly. The Shuffalo. And then also, of course, we have a beautiful Japanese waitress, because Jackie has a fondness for beautiful Japanese women. Mm-hmm. And then we have a tough old waitress, like from the Rascal House. You know, I don't know if you know the Rascal House in Miami, but famous delicatessen, and these women were always very tough waitresses. So we have right now she's black. She's a black tough old waitress.
Okay.
And then we also have an enraged fan named Nelson Z who ends up beating Jackie up. Jackie ends up hiring him in the end to be a chauffeur. And then who else do we have?
The mother. You?
The main part, the mother. Yeah, because my mother is the one who manipulated me into this whole thing with Jackie anyway. She's a
right.
very manipulating mother named Mrs. Olivier.
Okay.
And
so,
there's a little bit of a subplot with the mother.
Yeah.
So in the show, is it mostly solos or mostly group songs? Or
it opens up with The Breeze is Sweeter in Miami. And The
right.
Breeze is Sweeter in Miami. That's the group song in a deli where she meets him. And then there's duet with him and her, a duet with Jackie and Schleppalong. Then group song, Early Bird Special. Celebrity Seekers is Jackie's song backed up by the chorus. It's really typical off-Broadway. It's a typical off-Broadway musical, you know,
okay.
with a variety of songs and dancing. There's even a belly dance in it because I used to be a belly dancer. And, by the way, Sheba, my daughter, plays me in the show. So she's playing her own mother. And she's actually in the show pregnant with herself.
That's good. That's,
and
that's
she tends
good
to really like the guy who's playing Jackie Mason if he's straight. So
what? Pretty straight.
It's a really strange situation. She actually, you know, she falls in love with her father on the stage.
Oh, okay.
And then she becomes
pregnant.
Maybe
you should
herself.
Do a little bit of I Never Met the Sienta.
Yeah, why don't you do a little bit of I Never Met the Sienta?
Yeah, do a little bit of I Never Met the Sienta.
Let's give her the setup. So the setup is that Jackie is being taken to this, being taken in court in Florida County Court, and he's being interrogated about his relationship with Ginger, and he has to respond under oath, you know, to what's going on. So this is his response after being asked, "What is your relationship to this woman?" "Well, I never met this Yenta, never met her in my life. Some people say this Yenta, she just wants to be my wife. They say all she ever wanted was to get by my bed so that she could have my money, and I think she should drop dead." But then they ask him, they say, "But we've seen you, you know, in coffee shops, and we've seen you around, there are people that witness you around." And he says, "Well, I guess I might have seen her off and on and now and then, but I'm not the type to settle down, which I'll confess again, though I might have had this yearning to be with her all the time. Well, I thought the matter over, and I guess the baby's mine." They prove that he's the father, and he's, you know, in this situation now.
Yeah, once they mentioned that the blood test is 99.99%, and so then he decides to admit it. And what does he say, Jackie?
"Oi, they."
Is there a CD out?
Well, there is a CD. It's not out because people want to buy it, but I'm waiting. I mean, I could sell it. People do ask to buy it. It's just that I'm really waiting for the big producer to come along who wants to sell the music. And, you know, I don't, you know, want them to have the rights to sell it, you know. I'm inviting, you know, big producers to bring it into, you know, like a Broadway theater. And so, like, I haven't sold CDs yet, but I could give you one.
Because what I would like to do is, like, on a future show, like I do, you know, I'll say, you know, I'll repeat this kind of about this, and I'll say, and here's an excerpt
I can send,
from
I
the
can
show.
I can send it to you in an MP3 online. How's that?
Oy. No, I'll get it when I... When I go, it's easier for me to download. I went.
Okay, so when you come, we'll give you one.
When I'm there, I'll get it from you. But I'll probably see you before then, because I would like to see you perform write about that as well. And you're there, like, what did you say? When are you there doing your show?
The schedule is different each week.
No, the comedy.
So if you're coming, email me, and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I'll get you in.
And remember, there's a lot of other comedians on the same show with her. She could be second, she could be third, you know.
All right, I'll bear with it.
All right, they're all funny. It takes, like, they each do like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's a good show.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay. I could, I'm pretty good when it comes to watching the comedy. I have an extremely warped sense of humor.
We can see that.
but my thing really is, like, I would do scenes from The Wizard of Oz kind of thing. That's, I do a lot of character stuff. That's my stuff, as opposed to stand up.
My YouTube pretty. Okay.
You know what he reminds me a little of, like Joe Franklin.
Who?
Jackie Mason reminds me of, like,
Joe Franklin told me that he was in a cab and somebody thought that he was Jackie Mason.
Oh, that's so funny.
I think that like certain men after a certain age, like him, Jerry Stiller, and Joe Franklin, they just had that same look. You know?
What I had found very interesting about Joe Franklin, it's like every once in a while I'm going to a Broadway show to review it, and I'd see him sitting in the audience. And it was saying, I'd go over to him, and he was always with some young girl all the time. And because he's old, I wanted to, like, make sure that when I say hello, that I say my name so he, you know, so he knows it. So I would say to him, I say, hi, Joe, it's Merle Exit. And he would immediately, this is what really, he would immediately say, oh, that's right, change your name to Exit because he wanted to see your name up in lights. And he would turn to the, which is the line I used all the time.
Oh.
And he would turn to the person with him and say the same thing. And I thought to myself, I can't believe I met him. I was on his show when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
I'm now 63. And he keeps,
you know,
and
what?
He remembers.
I think this guy is 250 years old.
I think
because he saw me belly dance when I was 18 years old, too. And, like, he was in the audience and he was an old man. He was sleeping. And then
he came to see our playhouse and also fell asleep.
Yeah,
he's 250 years old, I'm telling you.
I know, it doesn't. I know, it seems like that.
I used to produce a show at his club, Joe Franklin's Comedy Club. It's since closed, but he used to come in all the time.
He really needed you to do that for him, Sheena. Close his club. But.
Well, now I think, doesn't he have a restaurant or something?
He did. That's where I ran, and he did. I don't think it exists anymore.
Oh, okay. But that was the one thing I remembered about him. I said, how could he remember me from so long ago? he remembers the punchline.
Yeah.
I guess that's why it was called Joe Franklin's Memory Lane.
You can't forget that punchline. That's a great punchline.
I mean, if it was all about women's breasts, it would be Joe Franklin's Mammary Lane. But anyway, so all right, so yes, I'll email you and send me give me the the dates that are coming up that you're going to be appearing. So we can, you know, do something. I can put a little promotion, get this into the Queen's Times. So that's, by the way, that's who I write for.
Oh, that's
we know. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also have a blog too, so it'll be up on the blog. When let me ask you, when I go, am I allowed to take any photos?
Yes,
sure.
Okay. Because I put that, like, that's what I do on my blog. I put up the photos on my blog.
Okay.
So, all right, cool. Well, thanks a bunch for calling in.
No, thank you.
And,
thank you for having us.
This should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It should be. Okay. All right, well, thank you, Merle. Bye.
Sure,
thank
have
you.
A great day, all of you. Ian,
thanks.
You should have a great day, too.
Merle, what can I say? What can I say? You're a schmuck. The biggest.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
All right, take care, everybody.
Okay.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I'll go see the show. I'll go see Sheba performing, and just looking forward to this. So, well, before I get to the rest of the show, I want to throw in. Let's do a little bit of music. The first thing I want to do is, I'm sorry. I wanted to also, I know I reviewed Bear, B-A-R-E, the off-Broadway show Bear. I think I talked about it on the last show. It's absolutely great. Hope it stays in the theater off-Broadway for a long time. And if it doesn't, it's because it's going to go, it should go actually to Broadway. Bear, I thought, was a kind of a gay version of the play Spring Awakening. That was, and I happen to love Spring Awakening. But in this play, the music is fabulous, the act, everything was fabulous about this. But what to get to Spring Awakening on something, I'm not sure that people who ever saw the show realize, at least in the original cast on Broadway, of who starred in it. And it was Leah Mitchell, I think, her last name. Leah Mitchell. Yes, from Glee. Yeah. From Glee. Yes, she was a star on this. And so what I want to do is play the song that when she comes on, and this is a song that she sang from it. Yeah, so I don't know. That's interesting because it kind of, like, you know, it has that Glee, her Glee voice sound, but in the show Glee, it definitely has, like, seems to have gotten, like, I guess more powerful. Anyway, I enjoy Glee because it's like, it's very entertaining in terms of, it's like I'm watching a show kind of thing, show, you know what I mean? And at the same time, there is a storyline to it. I'm not thrilled with the storyline right now, but what the heck. So let me go into this thing about in terms of Peapod. All right, it's delivery service. So what so Peapod, for those who don't know what it is, there's a chain, a grocery chain. I'm not sure if it's just more than the East Coast in the U.S. it's Stop and Shop is the grocery store, and if you want to, you don't want to go do your shopping and schlepping and whatever, they have a service called Peapod, and where I am in Queens, the Stop and Shop, the Peapod service, which is, I think the main company is in Skokie, Illinois, but the way it works is there's a Stop and Shop in Nassau County, New Hyde Park, and from what I'm understanding, that there's a warehouse above it, and so when I'm placing an order, they do the shopping at this warehouse, and so whatever, a week ago, a day ago, you know what it is, it could have been a year ago, no, it was about a week ago. So I get the guy comes in, you know, the delivery, and I say, just, you know, put the stuff down on the kitchen floor, and everything is, like, separated in what should be double plastic bags into whatever, frozen or however it is. So as I'm going through it, I'm just, you know, the first thing I try to do is get to the frozen stuff and get that away first, and then I get to the stuff that needs to be refrigerated. And I had ordered a pork chops and a whole chicken. And the pork chops come in those, you know, those tray kind of things, and they're like wrapped in the saran, you know, that kind of thing. The chicken is in the, I guess if you want, it's like the cryovac kind of thing, you know what I mean, where you need a knife to open up the plastic. But I didn't look at the chicken. What I did is I put both things in the refrigerator and, you know, on my bottom shelf. And when I was done putting everything away, I decided I wanted to have pork chop. And I take out the bag with the pork chop, and there's pork blood. And I'm going, how in the, you know, okay, why should this arrive like this? Even when I shop, I don't get it like that. And then I called and I spoke with them about this. Also, a couple of things. There was a substitute. One of the things wasn't there. And I guess from what I understand, they're supposed to tell you that. But they didn't say anything. So I wanted to get all this. So the next day I decide, well, I try to figure out what I want to do with regards to the chicken, well, you know, cut it up or whatever. And I take out the bag with the chicken. And there's chicken blood sitting in it. I mean, it's like sitting in chicken blood. And I'm going, how is this possible? The only way, like, if the only way I could do is cut it open, had to be poked. How could this thing get open? And I got two items that I have that dealing with the blood from things that that you know you can get salmonella poisoning. Well, I mean, I was livid. I'm on the phone with them, and so we go through an entire thing because I had to. I also had to throw things out. I mean, I don't know what everything touched, and especially anything that might, you know, produce or, you know, things that, you know, whatever. And so they, good old customer service, you know, they think everything is cool. You know, customer service takes care of everything. They don't want to have me speak with somebody from the corporate office, except they said something about they're going to have they'll have their insurance company call me. So they had decided as a gesture. They said, okay, we're not going to charge you for this shipment, and what we're going to do, we're going to re-deliver everything, and that's what you'll pay for. So I said, okay, you know, not that I wasn't going to deal with the health department on this, because that's what I think is the issue. And everything comes, and this now, again, I say put on the kitchen floor, whatever, and I take the bag that has the pork chops. Now this time it's only in a single plastic bag, and I take it, pick it up, and I put it up on the counter. I open up the bag, and it's swimming. Now as it's swimming in pork blood, I turn, I look at the floor where it was, and I see the pork blood on the floor, which means it had to have leaked while it was even in the truck. You know, now, I told them I was going to write about this because their answer when I called them, I mean, their response was, we'll take that item off for you. You won't have to be charged for that. They don't get it. They don't seem to get that this is a health department issue, which tomorrow I will make a phone call and lodge a complaint. So far I put all this information up on Yelp, on my blog. And this time, by the way, I made sure that I took photos and video of this, so in case they think I'm, you know, making it up. So the question is, like, in terms of complaints, will people complain? Because they'll say to me, well, no one's complained about this before, but a lot of people just don't want to complain. They just don't want to bother making a complaint, and I think that's a problem. So when I'm complaining, I feel that I'm complaining for at least 20 other people that are not complaining about this. But it also says to me, like, if this happened to me in the delivery, it's not as if mine's the only thing that was in that truck. How is this truck? How much of salmonella poisoning is hanging around in this truck that this is even happening? So I'm going to be dealing with this, and I will definitely update on what's happening with this. Okay, so that's the whole thing on Peapod. Now, before I go into the Les Mis, I met up with somebody from my past, Sarah Rice, and I wanted to she's going to be in a show this week over at 54 Below, or Below 54, I keep forgetting which it is, 54 Below, I think. It's a nightclub, and she and some other people are doing Sondheim Unplugged. But for those who don't remember, Sarah was in Sweeney Todd. She was in the original cast of Sweeney Todd, and here is the song that she sang.
Bring me
As I said, hopefully I'll be seeing Sarah this week. So let me go into this thing about Les Mis. The movie was brilliant. And it was brilliant. And it's not that I enjoyed the whole, when I saw it on Broadway, that I loved the show itself. It was, I don't know. But anyway, I lost something seeing the show because I did see it once. There was a movie version. And I caught more of the story in the movie version because that the movie version focused a little more on what Jean Valjean, whatever his name, what he did, you know, the thing about stealing the bread. And I didn't really get that in the play, in the Broadway. In this movie version, you really get the more of the story entirely of Les Mis. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't even know it had to do anything with the French Revolution either when I saw the Broadway show. So you really get not just the story, but as the actors are singing and they're doing their own singing, you can see the expressions on their faces as well. So the whole thing was brilliant. I would love to see some other Broadway shows, like Broadway musicals, done like that. And it definitely, it's a must see. The talent too, I mean, but it's a must see. I hope it wins a lot of awards. Now, here is the thing about the, you know, it's funny. I just looked at this thing and I wrote about people snoring too loud, and I cross it between snoozing and snoring. I'll have to correct that. Anyway, what it is, it wasn't the movie. This AMC theater, a movie theater that's in Fresh Meadows in Queens, did some renovations, and one of the things they did was the seats. And the seats are these plush leather reclining seats. I mean, you sit there and you're pushing the button on the side and you recline to whatever, to the position you want, all the way until you're absolutely lying down. I mean, I can understand why people fall asleep. It's just so comfortable. They got a cup holder, and they are reserved seats, meaning just the way it's like a reserved seat for a Broadway show. So once when you get a ticket, you actually are looking at a thing to see where you want to sit. And there's no problem about people going, passing you by, because you probably won't even realize people are passing you by. I think somebody did, you know, and it was like it didn't even interfere in watching the screen. But I do understand that the manager told me that he has to, at the end, people have to be woken up. Or there have been occasions where people have complained because somebody's snoring too loud, and they have to get woken up. So I'm going to go. Actually, I'm going to go this week. I'm interested in now seeing. I think The Life of Pi is the one I want to see, because I'd like to see what the whole experience is like with 3D as well. You know, so I'm going to do that. It seems that they have food there. They have food. They have what I call a little better than movie food, than, you know, movie theater food. Because I see some things like some chicken sliders, and So it's not just like, you know, candy popcorn kind of thing. And they also have this, when you want to buy a beverage, these machines, I think it's all Coca-Cola brands. And you can not only get what you want, you can get everything. It's like you can push the button for a flavored one. And to add to this, I think the cups, nope, they're not 32-ounce cups. I believe they're 16-ounce cups. But then you can go refill them. And, you know, you just, like, quickly slip out and refill the cup and bring it back in. So I think that's pretty good. And to add to this, wait for it. Before noon, a movie is only $6. And I think it's like $3 more if you're seeing it in 3D, I believe, something like that. But the whole experience is it's so worth it. So I'm definitely going to be seeing a lot more movies and reviewing them. Now I'm gonna have one funny thing to share, but before I do that, I'll have another. Because I liked all the songs from Spring Awakening. I think this was the final number in the show.
Butterfly seeds and open.
that's not one of, like, the rockin' songs on there. But one of the things I found with Spring Awakening is in terms the CD. The CD is the music is so good that I can, you know, like, play the CD and just listen to the CD and not even know what the play is about. But it's way past Christmas, of course. But I had gotten an email from my friend Enid, who passed this on to me from somebody else. I know, like, this has been done before regarding Christmas parties, but this one is I thought was a little bit just one that I wanted to share. Just because of my sense of humor. Okay, so I'll just kind of read this from the email. Company memo from Patty Lewis, Human Resources Director, to all employees, date October 1st, 2012, regarding gala Christmas party. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon in the private function room at the Grill House. There will be a cash bar and plenty of drinks. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along. Don't be surprised if our CEO shows up dressed as Santa Claus. A Christmas tree will be lit at 1 p.m. Exchanges of gifts among employees can be done at that time. However, no gift should be over $10 to make the giving of gifts easy for everyone's pockets. This gathering is only for employees. Our CEO will make a special announcement at that time. Merry Christmas to you and your family, Patty. Company memo from Patty Lewis, et cetera, et cetera. Gone in the gala this October 2nd. In no way was yesterday's memo intended to exclude our Jewish employees. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday, which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we're calling it our holiday party. The same policy applies to any other employees who are not Christians and to those still celebrating Reconciliation Day. There will be no Christmas tree and no Christmas carols will be sung. We'll have other types of music for enjoyment. Happy now. Happy holidays to you all and your family, Patty. Company memo, October 3rd, regarding holiday party. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put a sign at a table that reads AA only, you wouldn't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this, somebody? And sorry, but forget about the gift exchange. No gifts are allowed since the union members feel that $10 is too much money, and the executives believe $10 is a little chintzy. Remember, no gifts exchange will be allowed, Patty. Company memo, October 4th, regarding generic holiday party. What a diverse group we are. I had no idea that December 20th begins the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously, we can appreciate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps the Grill House can hold off on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything for you to take it home. Will that work? Meanwhile, I've arranged for members of Weight Watchers to sit furthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms. Gays are allowed to sit with each other. Lesbians do not have to sit with gay men. Each group will have their own table. Yes, there will be a flower arrangement for the gay men's table. To the person asking permission to cross-dress, the Grill House asks that no cross-dressing be allowed, apparently because of concern about the confusion in the restroom. Sorry. We will have a booster seats We will have booster seats for short people. Low-fat food will be available for those on a diet. I am sorry to report that we cannot control the amount of salt used in the food. The Grill House suggests that people with high blood pressure taste to bite first. There will be fresh, low-sugar fruits as dessert for diabetics, but the restaurant cannot supply no-sugar desserts. Sorry. Did I miss anything? Patty. Okay. To all fucking employees, regarding the fucking holiday party, I've had it with you vegetarian pricks. We're going to keep this party at the Grill House, whether you like it or not, so you can sit quietly at the table furthest from the grill of death, as you so quaintly put it, and you'll get your fucking salad bar, including organic tomatoes. But you know tomatoes have feelings, too. They scream when you slice them. I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. The rest of you fucking weirdos can kiss my ass. I hope you all have a rotten holiday. Drive drunk and die. Signed, a bitch from hell. Company memo, October 6th, regarding Patty Lewis and a holiday party. I am sure I speak for all of us in wishing Patty Lewis a speedy recovery, and I'll continue to forward your cards to her. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays, Joan. I love this. I love this one. It kind of reminds me, but I won't, of the 12 Days of Christmas letters. That's anyway. So, let's see. Well, I'm going to, end the show now. What am I doing this week? I saw Forever Dusty the other day with a group of friends. Both Forever Dusty and Bear are playing at Five Stages, 50th Street Theater, and both are great shows. I highly recommend them. And I'm going to see a play called The Fig, something with the Fig Leaves Are Falling, some old not musical that went to the wayside or something to that sort. Some other things that have not been confirmed, so I'm not going to say that I'm going to see these things. So, also for everybody, have a great day, evening, whatever. And I'll see you next time. Same station.